you in the 06010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico, and it's Tuesday, which means we're on to... Oh, wait!
We have football tonight.
We have football tonight. Tuesday night football, feeling unlike many others in life, will take place tonight as the Buffalo Bills travel to Tennessee to play the Titans for their first game since week three.
Tighten up!
Yes, the game is on, as we got news this morning from Dan Graziano and others that no new positives for the Titans, which... has been a concern, of course, over the past 2 weeks. So we do have Titans and Bills tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time. The game is on CBS, and it does count, just to remind those that maybe for some reason had a lack of clarity here, it counts for your Week 5 fantasy football matchups. I'm excited. I'm not going to lie to you.
100%. Tuesday Night Football should be a thing.
Yes.
I understand there's a lot of complications to it, but Tuesday Night Football should be a thing. I'm excited for a variety of reasons. Listen, first off, you're excited that there's no new positive tests. You're excited that, you know, people are starting to get healthy in Tennessee. So you're excited about that, right? You're excited about the fact that this game is going to happen because so many fantasy managers sitting there with Derrick Henry or Josh Allen or Devin Singletary or Stephon Diggs or Jonnu Smith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So like, okay, good. Those guys are going to play. And by the way, and I'm excited for the fact that we have football again tonight. Like, it's just another night. The only bummer, if there is a bummer here,
okay,
is that means there is no Thursday night football because the Bills were scheduled to play the Chiefs this Thursday night. That game is now on
Monday, 5 p.m.
Monday at 5 p.m. Wait. So that means we get double football next Monday?
Yeah, we do,
baby.
We get
double football next Monday. So that's the only small bummer here. One point of fact, and I think this is important because I just want to hammer this a few times, Field, that at least on ESPN, I can't speak for any other platforms, but if you play fantasy football with us here at ESPN, first, thank you very much. We appreciate your business. But number two is that waivers for this week because of the Tuesday night game tonight.
Yes.
Waivers in the 96.5% of leagues that use one-day waivers, sort of normal, typical, standard waivers, those waivers will run Wednesday night into Thursday, not tonight into Wednesday, which is typically what happens during the week.
And which is, it's a good week for that to happen for a couple of reasons. First of all, running Wednesday into Thursday is not often a major complication because even if you don't get, for example, the kicker you wanted in that Thursday night game, you can pick one up and play that kicker on Sunday. But obviously with no Thursday night football, it doesn't impact leagues that have one-day waivers. And for those whose leagues typically run waivers 2 days after the conclusion of the final game from the preceding week, obviously not going to be a factor as well. Because again, if your waivers are going to run Thursday night into Friday morning, there's no Thursday night game that you are missing out with the players from. So all good news. I don't want to say that we are out of the woods entirely here. I hope, though, that we are going to get to the point, and maybe we are at the point, where we're not going to have to start each show with a COVID-19 update, right? Because we went for a while there where it was possible there was COVID positive tests, but we weren't necessarily starting every show saying, hey, good news, no new positive COVID-19 tests.
By the way, the expectation also is that AJ Brown will play tonight, which is great. It'll be great to see him back out there as well.
Yes, can't wait to see. I mean, man, it's been a while since we've seen AJ Brown and certainly has been banged up because of that knee bone bruise.
Yeah, you just mentioned an injury, which is a perfect segue.
That is.
To our very own Stefania Bell.
And Stefania, we talked yesterday about Dalvin Cook, who left Sunday night's game for the Minnesota Vikings. We have just a tad bit more clarity. What can you tell us?
Well, the MRI, they seem pretty pleased with. It sounds like it's not a serious injury, but they wanted to wait and see how he does this week. Obviously, they have a bye next week. So when you look at these soft tissue injuries, and remember when Dalvin Cook had the hamstring issue that he tried to press through that year he first came back from the ACL, and he really struggled with that. And I think they've learned that they need to be cautious with him. So I will not expect to see Dalvin Cook this week, and then he would benefit from 2 additional weeks of rest.
We'll get into the follow-up out from that and a little bit later on in the show with waivers. There's a certain running back you might want to go grab if you haven't already earlier this season. But the Chiefs are going to be, it sounds like, maybe, well, a little shorthanded. They're still the Chiefs after all. But Sammy Watkins left the game on Sunday, Stefania. What do we know about his status?
And now we're hearing that he's expected to miss multiple weeks. And again, Sammy Watkins is a guy who's no stranger to soft tissue injuries. He's been in the league for a while. Hamstring injuries, we talked about this, that even if they're mild, they're considered 1 to 2 week injuries. You run the risk of a setback. Just look at what happened with Julio Jones. So it doesn't surprise me that we're hearing he's going to miss some time.
Okay, so obviously we'll get into the fallout of that as well. On the waiver wires, as you know, with the Chiefs, it doesn't matter who you are. If you play offense on Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, you have a chance to score a touchdown. Just ask Eric Fisher, their starting left tackle.
Wow.
It's true. Over the past 3 weeks, I think we've realized that Mike Davis has been one of the best fill-in running backs we've seen for quite some time, dealing with a player of the star power of Christian McCaffrey, who's been banged up. But Stefania, technically, Christian McCaffrey could return this week. He's missed 3 games, which is how many you must miss once you are placed on IR. Does that mean we'll see him on Sunday?
It's far from a lock. Now, I know that there's reports out there saying no way that we see him on Sunday, but we haven't had to get a practice report yet, right? Because he's been on injured reserve. And as I said when we last talked about Christian McCaffrey, you really would want to see him doing football things before you even tried to measure whether you thought he would be ready. And we just haven't seen that. And the Panthers, whether anyone wants to admit it or not, when you have someone who's functioning very well in the absence of another player, it just allows you some comfort, both in terms of where the team feels they are, and also for that player to know that they can get really right before they come back. So this was always termed a 4 to 6 week injury, so he'd still potentially be on the early side coming back from a high ankle sprain. And we've seen others like Michael Thomas who thought they could come back in a week, and clearly it takes longer than that for something of this magnitude. If he had to go on IR for it, then you knew it was probably going to be at least a month. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's another week, but let's wait and see what he does in practice, and we'll talk more at the end of the week.
Okay, that's good to know. If you grab Mike Davis after week 2, he has been perhaps your MVP over the past 3 weeks. 75.1 fantasy points for Mike Davis in 3 games starting, and it sounds like it could be one more. Normally, I tell you, like, the team could buy all sorts of time, right? They're the Panthers. They're rebuilding. They're also tied for first place in their division now, and right, came dangerously close to being a game ahead of New Orleans after last night. So maybe this team, they're not going to rush Christian McCaffrey back, but when he first went down, our thought process was, hey, they're 0-2. What if they're 1-6 by the time he's ready to be back on the field? Maybe they just say, you know what, CMC?
Right.
Make this a, or, you know, you get 8 weeks to recover. You don't even need 4 to 6. Like, take 8, take 10, take whatever it needs to get that ankle back to 100%. They're more competitive. So while they won't rush him back, at least there's a very good chance we'll see him back on the field, but maybe on his previously projected timetable.
Sure, but as Stefania alluded to, the fact that Mike Davis is crushed for them. So there's not the urgent need to get him back. I mean, we're not saying Mike Davis is Christian McCaffrey, but this offense is funky.
For fantasy, he has been. I know it's
for
wild.
For fantasy, he has been. And by the way, they've won the games that Mike Davis has been out there, right? I mean, so to your point, like, it's really interesting here. The other thing is, by the way, not that this would factor into it, but they play Chicago this week.
Revenge game.
That's right. Come on, Mike Davis.
Wow. Mike
Ryan
Davis.
Pace gets to see what he paid and
high and dry, yeah.
And let go. And he's currently, it's a great story. By the way, if nothing else, you're happy for Mike Davis.
Totally. Yeah, I think I didn't do a great job articulating what I was trying to say, is that I would have thought after the injury was first sustained from Christian McCaffrey that the 4 to 6 week timetable could have been prolonged based off of their record. Now, I don't think that happens based off of their record, because I think they'll be, you know, maybe 4-3, maybe even 5-2 by the time Christian McCaffrey is ready to return, which could be as soon as this week, but it sounds like that is going to be a long shot.
Do you think there's any chance? I'm just asking you. Do you think there's any chance
they bench him?
No. I don't think there's any chance they bench him, but do you think there's any chance that Mike Davis, because prior to this injury,
yeah,
Christian McCaffrey was getting, I'm making up a number here, but something like 96% of running back touches in Carolina, whatever, 90%, 92%, some insane number.
Yeah.
Does that number go to 70 now?
I think it dips a little bit when he first returns, as they sort of test the waters with that ankle. Not that they're going to, again, not to suggest that they will not be 100% medically conscious, but still, even if you are good enough to start the game, a team will be mindful of your workload within the game. It seems like a pretty reasonable expectation. But
But I'm trying to go to locker room mentality, right?
Yeah.
There is a locker room mentality that when a guy gets out there and performs at any position,
you want to reward him.
You want to say to the guys in your locker room, like, hey, if you perform on the field, you're not losing your gig no matter what. And so to me, I just think that it's an interesting situation that everyone knows Christian McCaffrey's the guy, and he's the guy that they're paying him a lot of money. But the fact of the matter is that Mike Davis is completely balled out. And like it's hard for me to think that Matt Rhule says, all right, Mike Davis, thanks for your service. Go back to the end of the bench.
Well, so what I was going to say is that like I think it starts, let's use your 70% number. So Christian McCaffrey plays 70 to 75% of the snaps the first game or two when he's back. If he reverts to form like what he was last year,
yeah,
then unfortunately for Mike Davis, this is a business too, right? Like they're going to go back to Christian McCaffrey playing 85, 90% of the snaps. But if Christian McCaffrey looks sort of like he did out of the gates in the first 2 weeks of this season, which was less efficient than last year, and Mike Davis continues to run hard, there will be some opportunities there. It's a great problem to have, but you know what? And I don't want to make everything like, oh, Matt Rhule can draw on his college experience. But in college, you're constantly dealing with having to sort of gently work your way through depth charts because you have guys who started for freshman and sophomore year get benched because a true freshman comes in and is better than that junior player. So I think Matt Rhule's got a good understanding of the locker room dynamics involved there that would probably play well into that situation. But it's a good problem. It's a good problem for a Carolina team that is a scrappy team to have. Just one more, Stefania, quickly on the Packers, who did return to work after their bye week on Monday. And remember Devontae Adams' tweet before their last game, which was scrubbed from the internet somehow.
But the internet remembers.
The internet doesn't remember, but I sort of forget. Are we expecting him to play on Sunday, and are we expecting him to practice right away?
Yes. He's back working out with the team, and you know he said in that tweet, which was since deleted, that he felt like he was ready to go, but apparently some people knew his body better than others. I think expressing some frustration about why he was not playing in that game prior to their bye week. But hey, you know, they've been functioning, you know, but you guys were just talking about they were moving, clicking pretty well, even in his absence. And they just get the bonus of getting a healthier Devontae Adams back. So I fully expect him to play this week.
Okay, that's excellent news. Update your rankings according, Matthew Berry. Accordingly, I should say. Sure. We'll have more on Devontae Adams, obviously, throughout this week. Packers 4-0, Aaron Rodgers, the only qualified starting quarterback who has yet to throw an interception this season.
You just jinxed him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's throwing a
pick on
Sunday.
Dude, you jinxed him coming into the season.
Listen,
you reverse jinxed him.
No, I motivate him. I motivated him.
Yeah.
You're welcome, America.
Aaron Rodgers is reading.
I motivated him.
That's his billboard material. He's got you posted up in the locker.
Listen, that's what did it.
Yep.
When you make a horrible call like that, like I did in the preseason.
Like everybody did.
Like, yeah, I mean, everyone did. But what I'm owning my own stuff, right? The only way to play it, there's two ways to play it when you make a horrible call like that, right?
Yeah.
There's one way is to say, look, listen, guys, I'm taking the L. I totally missed that call. Bad call by me. I'm sorry, just dumb call by me. Or you pull the Skip Bayless and you're like, I did it to motivate him. You're welcome. You take full credit for it because you're an insane person. And so I think I'm going the Skip route. Skip's a very rich man. You know what I mean? So yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, Fantasy America. There you go. I motivated Aaron Rodgers to have a monster season by putting him on my preseason hate list.
Packers fans, there you go. That's your gift from old Matty B here. Made Aaron Rodgers the best version of himself that we've seen in quite some time. Let's get to Monday Night Football. Just one game, as there was supposed to be two. There was just one. The Chargers traveled to New Orleans to play the Saints. They lose in very Chargers fashion. 30-27, blow a 17-point lead. They have an opportunity to kick a game-winning field goal. As time expired in the fourth quarter, it went single doink from the Money Badger, Mike Badgley.
Ugh.
But they did.
I feel so bad for that kid.
Yeah, I mean, he missed an extra point, too. Yeah,
exactly. No, exactly. Like, they should have won that game. The Chargers should have won that game.
No doubt.
And they didn't, and I am sure that, you know, Mike Badgley feels like I cost my team the win.
You know what, though?
It's a team game. Like, by the way, stop the Saints on that drive.
Of course, stop the Saints. And, you know, Mike Williams had a chance to extend that arm maybe on that 4th-and-7 play in overtime. But still, you know what really matters?
What's that?
Justin Herbert is a problem. We'll get to Justin Herbert in just a second. But Justin Herbert was very impressive last night, and much of it came without his best receiver, Stefania, as Keenan Allen did what he does, which is make a great catch in the end zone for a touchdown, and then he left the game.
I know. And did you see that the image of him on the sideline getting stretched out by like two different people? And
yeah, the minute
I saw him in that position, that is a position, you know, a spinal stretch. And I'm like, oh, his back's bothering him. Sure enough, that's what kept him out for the rest of the game. And afterwards, Anthony Lynn said all he knew was that he was having back spasms, said he tried to go back in, but he just couldn't go. So that's all the information we have right now. But back spasms, that's what kept Keenan out.
Two catches on two targets for 29 yards and a touchdown. So if you started them, he actually probably didn't ruin your fantasy night for you. 10.9 fantasy points, but all the best to Keenan Allen. I believe they have a bye next week now because of the reshuffled schedule. So there's a chance it would stand to reason that he will play in week 8. What's week 7?
We are into week 6.
We're into week 6. Yeah. Gosh, I need
so week 7. There's a chance that he could play in week 7.
He could play in week 7. That would be against
you're without all the Chargers this upcoming week, including Keenan Allen. I tweeted this out. You and I are actually in the same league. I won't call up the people that are in this league because I don't know if they want this public, but you and I are in a league, and there was a match in our league, one of the leagues that you and I are in, where the person was down by a decent amount, had Keenan Allen going Monday night. His opponent was done, and he pulled to win then 0.28.
And then
with the touchdown, because that was Keenan Allen's last play.
Yeah.
The touchdown catch that Keenan Allen made pulled him to within 0.28. And then
that's
he's out for the rest of the
heartbreaking.
Game.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Like, you'd rather, like, lose at that point. You'd rather lose by 10 points.
Yes.
Like, get that close, and then you're that's tough, man. Here. That is a bummer. Shout out to that guy. I'll tell you off the air who that is if you're not aware. But
the next man up, though, in this Chargers wide receiver group, and this is just remarkable. I mean, they're playing with guys who had, you know, making their first or second start in the NFL, guys who had never made catches in the NFL before. But Mike Williams is a known commodity. He was once the 7th overall pick in the draft, and he had a great night last night. I mentioned that he had a 4th and 7 that came about 18 inches short in overtime, but he was spectacular. He had a long, long touchdown. He had 5 catches for 109 yards, 2 touchdowns in total. He also had an unbelievable sideline catch to help preserve the game for the Los Angeles Chargers. Went up and got the football amidst
multiple defenders. Double coverage and like right on and kept his balance.
He's ridiculous.
I think that was a 4th down too, right?
It was, It kept the game going. He is absurd in those contested catch situations.
Mike Williams drives me crazy.
Of course he does.
Drives me crazy.
Because he's
like
got a bat
blank crazy, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Insanely talented.
Of course.
Like when he was drafted out of Clemson, you were like, this guy's going to be awesome.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? I mean, like everyone that watched him at Clemson, like when he was drafted, I believe he was drafted, I want to say 7th overall. Yeah. 7th overall. No one was just like, what are you doing? We were all like, big Mike Williams. And he has been incredibly inconsistent and frustrating. And I'm curious, Field Yates. So Mike Williams, as great as he was magical last night. It's his 2nd best fantasy game of his career. Remember he had that game in 2018 against the Chiefs. He ran that touch. Remember he had the long touchdown run in that. Again, he was great. So there's lots of positives about Mike Williams, right? He's gotten an end zone target in 3 or 4 games this year, right? I mean, it's his 2nd game this season with 5 deep targets. And we're talking about Justin Herbert and what this offense looks like under him. Like, they're going to take deep shots. And we know about the talent and the physical skills. On the other hand, can't stay healthy, incredibly inconsistent. There's a reason why, Field Yates, he's available in over 60% of ESPN leagues. He's only rostered, I believe, in 34%.
34.4% for Mike Williams. If you're asking, is he going to make the waiver wire call?
I'm asking.
He was a late ad, and here's the reason why. If Keenan Allen misses time, then someone's got to catch passes. And with all due respect to Jalen Guyton and what other players that I can't even remember their names.
Well, Hunter Henry is out there, obviously.
I know, but I mean amongst wide receivers, right? It's hard to envision that somebody's going to have more targets amongst the wideouts, especially with no Austin Eckler as well for at least 2 more games than Mike Williams. Really talented guy. And the optimism. And he's a bench stash, right? There are players that are on your bench that are bringing you less utility than I think Mike Williams can upon his return from the bye. But the real reason why you're optimistic about Mike Williams is his quarterback, Justin Herbert, who now has the 3rd most passing yards of any player through the first 4 games of his NFL career. The only 2 players ahead of him, Cam Newton and Andrew Luck. Not bad for a guy who also became the first rookie quarterback to ever throw for 4 touchdowns in a Monday Night Football game. He had 3 in the first half. He is absurd. He is doing things, and I need to be very careful in how I say this, but He is not Patrick Mahomes, and he is not close to being that yet. But he is doing some things that are reminiscent of Patrick Mahomes. Buying time, backpedaling, navigating under duress, and throwing rockets down the field. Dude. It's ridiculous.
Dude, and doing this with, like, limited weapons around him, inconsistent weapons. Oh, now you have Keenan Allen, now you don't. You had Austin Eckler, now you don't. Like, he's got a rookie running back there with him, and what is Justin Jackson, a third year guy, right? I got some stats for you. I had Thirsty Kyle pull some stats. Get this. Here's the entire list in the NFL's history.
Okay.
Here's the entire list of active quarterbacks, right, of guys that are playing right now. Active quarterbacks to score 22 or more fantasy points in three of their first four career starts.
Okay.
Cam Newton.
Good.
Patrick Mahomes.
Pretty good.
Justin Herbert.
Eh.
That's the list.
Eh.
That's the list, Field Yates.
Unbelievable.
Over the last 2 weeks, let me give you the list. Over the last 2 weeks, let me give you the list of quarterbacks that have scored more fantasy points than Justin Herbert. Dak Prescott. That's the list.
Wait, by the way, that's ridiculous that Dak did that in
six
quarters.
I mean, right, exactly.
Insane.
Pay the man.
Dak is the man. Yeah.
Pay the man right now. Pay the man while he's on crutches. Pay the man. Dak's a living legend. So get this. He didn't play week one, right? Obviously, it was Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Here's his 2020 pace, still having missed one game. 3,824 passing yards, 29 passing touchdowns. Thirsty Kyle notes, we have never had a rookie hit both of those thresholds. And you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, right? Again, none of us are saying that he is Patrick Mahomes, but he has shown Mahomesian-like qualities. Get this. So far this year, Patrick Mahomes, 0.56 points per fantasy points per pass attempt. Justin Herbert, 0.55. Patrick Mahomes has been on target with 81.7% of his passes. Justin Herbert's been on target with 86.7% of his passes. Both guys have a 46% deep completion percentage. Justin Herbert's going to be something special.
He's going to be really fun to watch for a long time for Chargers fans. That's good news.
There's only one annoying thing about Justin Herbert. There's just one annoying thing.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's rostered by Stefania in our Dynasty League.
Oh.
That's super annoying.
And what happened when we played each other?
Yeah, you crushed me like a grape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. Okay, let's move.
Like
record.
A grape. My dynasty team's terrible. Like T.Y. Hill. Everyone
so
on my dynasty
mine,
team got old at the same time.
Here, so
yeah,
like
actually, my dynasty team's terrible. In our league, like I'm in a rebuilding year. I came very close last year.
I was thinking about saying we got to move forward and talk about the Chargers running backs, but if you want like 8 more minutes on how badly you beat Matthew in your matchup, and I'll take 7 about how badly I'm beating him in our matchup right now.
Oh, that's good.
I'll pile
tag
on.
Team, right? This is like, what do they call that in wrestling? You know,
tag team. Yeah.
No.
Tag team.
See,
I take no shame in this. My dynasty team.
Well, you should be very ashamed.
Stop it. It's a dynasty team. It got old. That's what happens.
Take it from him. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Look at me. I am my dynasty team. Like I just What are you gonna do, man? Like I'm in a rebuilding year. It is what it is.
We
had some bad Chris McCaffrey getting injured hurt my fantasy.
America. We got a lot of people to talk about.
All right, two Chargers running backs played last night, and I think it's pretty objective in stating that Justin Jackson looked like the much more superior player for the evening. He had 15 rushes for 71 yards, 5 catches on 6 targets for 23 yards. Good for 14.4 fantasy points. Joshua Kelly had 11 rushes for 29 yards plus 1 catch on 1 target. Now, he got more red zone work. And maybe he's a better goal line option. Not a lot of goal line opportunities last night for the Chargers. But it feels like if you were to roster one of these two going forward, it's pretty clearly Justin Jackson until Austin Eckler returns.
He was the better player last night. He played more. Yes, the one positive you mentioned about the goal line rushes, like when they were in close, at least early in the game, you know, it was Joshua Kelly. I have Joshua Kelly in a bunch of leagues, including one in a league against Stefania. And
Peter?
No, I didn't. Stefania had a monster week this week. Super annoying. But that was in the podcast show league that we play. So I had Joshua Kelly, and so Joshua Kelly was in the first time they were down close, and that was the first touchdown to Mike Williams, also the touchdown to Hunter Henry. He was in on both those plays. They just didn't run the ball. There was like whatever first and goal or on the 3-yard line or whatever it was. So that was a positive here, and he ultimately ended up getting 5 red zone snaps to Justin Jackson's 1. But to your point, looking at the box score in terms of total touches, in terms of targets, in terms of honestly just the eye test, who played better, it was Justin Jackson over Joshua Kelly. I don't think it was particularly close either.
Agreed there, and so we'll continue to vet that one out going forward. They're going to bye this week, so when they play the Jaguars in week 7, you can suspect that Justin Jackson will be rated higher in our rankings
question for you, because I think this is a question that some people at home have. I mean, I definitely know the answer, but this is merely for the people at home. Yeah. Austin Eckler's on the IR. Does that mean he has to miss 3 weeks or three games?
Because
the fact that their bye has been moved up does not help Austin Eckler's return ability.
You know what?
You know what I mean?
Yes and no. Because here's the reason why. The initial timetable was 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
So Austin Eckler may end up bringing you an extra game of utility, right? Because if he were to miss, let's say he needed to miss 4 weeks minimum,
right,
and they were going to play four straight games, he'd be out for four straight games. But it's possible that, like, you know, he could miss three games and still not be able to return because he needed 4 weeks. So I think it actually is maybe a slight positive, but you are correct in that he has to miss at least three games. Let's get to the Saints. And Drew Brees, kind of by hook or by crook, which is a weird thing to say about Drew Brees, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game,
right,
found his way to 21.1 fantasy points. And it wasn't pretty for much of the first half.
Dude.
But he finished with 325 passing yards, a touchdown, a pick, and a rushing touchdown, which the rushing touchdown came from like the 6-inch line after Emmanuel Sanders appeared to have scored. It was ruled a touchdown on the field. They bring it back. So if Brees doesn't get that, he still finishes with 19.1 fantasy points. So still a very reasonable night for Drew Brees.
Really good.
Here's where I think we have to settle with Drew Brees as a fantasy quarterback is that I know in the real world, there's a lot of consternation over the fact that they have zero vertical passing game right now. Zero, right? And that Drew Brees, in many instances, looks very old. Many, including myself, were wondering if it was time for Jameis Winston last
night. Did you notice he just looked right at me when he said Drew Brees looks really old?
He didn't just look at you. He looked into your soul.
I know. Looked right, it pierced you with
very
my
upsetting.
Eyes.
It was intense.
It really was upsetting.
But in fantasy, Matthew, that part, it doesn't matter how it gets done. I still think Drew Brees is probably going to find a way in a lot of weeks. And I don't have all of his game logs in front of me right now, and I apologize for that. But he's played 5 games so far this year. I would guess at least 3 of them were like 20-ish points, give or take 2. And Michael Thomas has played 1 game this
year. That's the
point. Is that like he's still a usable starter going forward?
Yeah, that's
it's not pretty, but it's usable.
That's the biggest point here. We are not allowed to judge Drew Brees' fantasy quarterback asset without Michael Thomas. You just can't. It's just that's not a fair assessment to be like he's done or he's awesome or whatever. We don't have a full look at what this offense will be once Michael Thomas comes back, right? So the fact is Saints on a bye next week. So let's start
Carolina the following week. Good matchup there.
Good match with Carolina. I get it. It was not pretty and I wouldn't be super psyched if Drew Brees were my only fantasy quarterback here, but I'm also not ready to put dirt on his fantasy grave just yet because, again, we haven't seen him with Michael Thomas. They're finally getting Emmanuel Sanders worked into that offense. It took a little while, but obviously the last couple of weeks have been really good, especially last night here as well. And so what does this offense look like with Michael Thomas, with Emmanuel Sanders, with Jared Cook out there? And, oh, by the way, it's clear that the Saints' defense – ain't the Saints defense from previous years. They may be in more shootouts than we expected coming into the season. I mean, Justin Herbert came in there and lit them up. And we all agree, we think he's got a chance to be special, but that's not a team that should come in and light up the Saints.
The secondary for the Saints is all out of whack right now. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but they have yet to play like we expected them to play coming into this season. So you mentioned how you can't really judge Drew Brees without Michael Thomas. It's unfair to make wholesale judgments on the wide receivers without Michael Thomas as well. So while Emmanuel Sanders went nuts, he had 12 catches. He had 100 and how many yards? 122. And nearly
14 targets.
Yeah, and he was 6 inches shy of a 30-point fantasy game last night.
Yep.
It's good. It's encouraging. Michael Thomas is back probably in week 7. I mean, almost assuredly in week 7. So I'll reserve judgment on what Emmanuel Sanders' value is right now based off of the fact that Michael Thomas is good for, 15 targets a game in a lot of weeks?
Usually.
Like, that's not unreasonable. So we'll keep our eyes on Michael Thomas coming back into week 7. And just thank you, Alvin Kamara, for being our fantasy MVP.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Even in a game in which he really didn't do much, still had almost 20 fantasy points.
I was gonna say,
it felt like a quiet night for Alvin Kamara. Like, if you're not looking at the box score, you just sort of watch the game. Felt like a quiet night for Kamara. Still just kind of, dinks and dunks and catches his way to 20 points.
He has more fantasy points than any other player in the NFL through 5 games so far this season. 0.2 points ahead of Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. Daniel, time now.
So Smart Trade Decisions is informed by IBM Watson, and I have a question for you, Field, all right? If I'm 1-4 in a league, I have Michael Thomas on my team. I've waited this entire time. Now Michael Thomas goes onto a bye week after not playing again today. I need to win. I have to make a decision. So what level or kind of player do I think that I should be getting in return if I'm looking at moving Michael Thomas just to stay alive in this playoff berth?
So you and I spoke about this prior to the show. We also talked yesterday about, like, hey, if someone offered you Robbie Anderson right now, you need to win right away, because if you're 1-4, your season is on life support. If you don't win next week, and you might already be out of the playoffs, but if you don't win next week, you are done. Stick a fork in your season.
Yeah.
Robbie Anderson, a reasonable name to target, I think, at the very least. It's reasonable, right?
It's reasonable. What about Amari Cooper?
I think it's a reasonable name to target as well. He was awesome prior to last week. He just went into ghost town. And as we know, with Amari Cooper, he has some Jekyll and Hyde nature to his game. So I would consider it for Amari Cooper as well.
What about Rams wide receivers? Either Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp?
So Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp. If I were to make the trade, I would be targeting Robert Woods out of those two. Probably a little bit below where I'd want to end up, though, for Michael Thomas.
Okay. Mike Evans?
Yeah, people are going to say, yeah, he scored in every game. But as Mike Clay will tell you, his targets are down, his average depth of targets are down. So I would make the move. I also think it's worth keeping an eye on whether Mike Evans' utilization is quite what we expected it to be coming into the season. But if I could acquire Mike Evans for Michael Thomas, I would do so.
All right, I got three more names for you.
All righty.
CEH.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. As people know, I've got a couple of concerns that sort of right now prevent him from being in that very elite top tier of running backs. But again, 1-4, I still think that you probably need the points here. And I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his floor remains like a low-end RB2 for me. And I think the ceiling, obviously, is like top 7 or 8 running back. So I would make that move as well.
Sure. What about Joe Mixon?
I pass, and I'm a little bit nervous. You know, Joe Mixon is one of those guys that, at his best, can be RB1 in a given week, but the volume was excellent this past week, but that offensive line's so bad, so bad, man, that I get nervous about the rushing volume, rushing efficiency in Cincinnati.
All right, last one, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I'd pass here as well. Jonathan Taylor has been solid for the Colts, don't get me wrong, but this is very confusing. You would not expect this out of the Colts, but as many in Indianapolis who cover the team daily will tell you, their offensive line has not blocked up front in the running game like you expect that offensive line to block up front in the running game. So I think I would pass on Jonathan Taylor for Michael Thomas. But Daniel, at 1-4, you can make a case for any of those trades because you need the win right now.
Yep.
You need it.
Yep. You got to get it in order to stay alive. And speaking of that, you know what's really scary, Field?
Michael Thomas being out?
That is absolutely true, but it's not the only scary thing out there. In fact, seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico is also scary. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school, Mom. No, Geico can't erase the memory of you tripping down the hallway in those oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, wondering what happened to that green onesie. All right, just switch to Geico. Save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And Field Minister Yates, you write the waiver column every week, so let's get into our week 6 waiver conversation.
He's Field Yates.
This week, I decided to do something a little bit different, and I'll pass it to you just a heads up. So last week, I decided that because of what we learned with the Patriots game being moved and having to find a last-minute replacement from Cam Newton, I pledged that each week I'm going to have a little quarterback section that just, if you need a name, here are some names. I think that however many teams are in your league, double that number of teams, and that's how many quarterbacks should be rostered in your league.
You're in a 10-team league, 20 quarterbacks should be rostered. You're
everybody
in a 12-team
should have
league,
at least one.
24 quarterbacks should be rostered.
Yep.
Did that math in my head. No big deal. NBD, just saying. Some of us are math geniuses over here.
Syracuse is going to send you one of those ribbons you wear around.
Absolutely.
One of those, yeah.
Or maybe A&M Consolidated High School in College Station, Texas.
Shout out
to Alex Caruso.
That's right. NBA
World
champion.
Alex Caruso, also a proud graduate of A&M Consolidated High School.
So I have been adding more quarterbacks to the waiver wire. This week they led the column because, of course, not just the Dak Prescott injury, but Russell Wilson, Drew Brees going on by this upcoming week.
And Justin Herbert.
even though Herbert also makes the column as an ad for this week. But let's get things rolling here, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
And I hand it off to you to be our lovely host.
So obviously Dak Prescott's injury means Andy Dalton is the new starter of the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm sure he makes your waiver wire column.
He does, and he's available in 99.8% of leagues, as Dak Prescott had never missed a game and has never missed a game in his career. Obviously, that'll begin this week. But so some of the things that work in Andy Dalton's favor. First of all, he's been a good quarterback. I understand he's not a great quarterback. I understand there's a reason why he became available this offseason. I am also here to tell you that Andy Dalton has had plenty of days that have been worthwhile for fantasy football. They have outstanding pass catchers in Dallas. They have the best three wide receiver set in the NFL, in my opinion, with Cooper and Lamb and Gallup. Dalton Schultz has been good. The offensive line is a disaster, but that actually might work in Andy Dalton's favor because they're going to continue to play in a ton of shootouts. They have a league-high 371 offensive snaps this season, and 80% of them have come when trailing so far this year. So you factor in the bad defense, the good position players, good skill position players around Andy Dalton, and I think, as we discussed yesterday, he'll probably end up somewhere in my quarterback 12 to 15 rank for week seven. For week six and moving forward.
Yeah, and by the way, and even if you only need, quote, a quarterback for this week, or even if you don't need a quarterback for this week, I think he's worth picking up because I think he is a usable asset. Like, I'd rather have Andy Dalton the rest of the season than Drew Brees. Like, I think
it's
that's
close.
A conversation, right?
Close,
I think that's
yeah.
a conversation, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or Carson Wentz, like, or Matt Ryan. Like, I think he's right in that range. So something to think about there. Lemons into Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Field Yates.
That's right. So let's say you're thinking about replacing Russell Wilson for just 1 week. I think one name to consider is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who may be the best pickup amongst quarterbacks specific to week six. They play the Jets this upcoming week. They go on a bye the week after that. And the reason why this is more short-term than it is long-term is not just because they have a bye in week seven, but also because the Dolphins this past week had to announce that Ryan Fitzpatrick was starting at quarterback.
Right.
Now, he played great and responded very favorably. But the point is they've got Tua waiting in the wings and that he's basically one bad start away from losing or potentially losing his job. So he is our...
By the way, I feel like you could have said that for every year of Ryan Fitzpatrick's career.
Totally. The guy is the ageless wonder. He is so fun to watch. His teammates love him, but it's also a business. And if this team is 2-5 and he's playing poorly, then you have to consider Tua long and hard. So I think he'll play very well this week against the Jets, who have been just so bad defensively.
Revenge game for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
See what our...
Although about half the league is.
You see, this is actually pretty funny. So this week, during our power rankings, they task our NFL Nation reporters to do each week is fill out a category. So, like, you know, greatest strength so far, you know, like most surprising player. This week, I believe the question was biggest weakness for the roster. So, you know, you might look at the Seahawks and say, hey, pass defense or secondary.
Sure.
Rich Cimini, our very, very good Jets reporter, was asked for the Jets' biggest weakness. His answer? Football.
Pretty good. I thought he was going to say Adam Gase, but there you go. Football is even better. It's like the old Rich McKay quote where after the Buccaneers had lost an awful, awful game, and they said, "What did you think about your team's execution?" He says, "I'm in favor of it."
Oh God, I forgot that quote. Rich McKay, he's got
sort
of overseeing the Falcons once.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. But anyway, I believe he is the correct me, internet or Kyle, if I'm wrong on that. But I'm almost positive
that because he's a longtime Bucks executive. So
exactly. And I believe that's the famous quote from him, which is like, "What do you think of your team's execution today?" I'm in favor of it.
One more here for me on the quarterback front.
Yeah, sure.
There really are multiple options besides this, but Jared Goff, who we keep talking about in the waiver wire column weekly, and I think that's probably going to worry. He's going to end up sort of hovering around 50 to 55% available in a lot of weeks, but he plays well, right? He had 24.4 fantasy points this past week. He had 309 passing yards. He added two passing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown. Solid player, creative offensive mind behind him in Sean McVay. Excellent wide receivers, offensive line that's playing well. A lot of the ingredients line up for Jared Goff to remain a quarterback that you can count on. Not going to cost you your week in many weeks, I believe.
Yeah, no, we talked about Jared Goff as a sleeper coming into the preseason. Like, listen, it's a pass-friendly offense. It's a good offense. It's a good offense with a lot of weapons. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the ceiling may not be there for Goff, but Goff is better than probably a lot of the quarterbacks that are getting started in fantasy league.
Yep.
Do we want to do Dumpsville? What are we doing?
We're going to do Dumpsville with it.
Okay.
All right. So if you're adding a quarterback, Field Yates, it means you're also getting rid of somebody on your roster. And so the question becomes, and we talked about him a little bit earlier in the show, but are you willing to welcome to Dumpsville, population U, Drew Brees, who was great last night? We just talked about it. It's not fair to judge him without Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
But the fact is that he's been inconsistent. He had a great game last night, but over his past 16, he scored over 25 points only twice in the past 16. So maybe the upside isn't necessarily there. He's on a bye this week. Are you okay getting rid of Drew Brees in a 10-team, one-quarterback league?
I'm not. So I would love to hear the counterpoint to that, because I think 25 points, like, I'm not counting on my quarterback getting you over 25 points. He's averaging 17.8 points per game this year with three catches for 12 yards from Michael Thomas in five games. So I'm not
the argument. The argument there, not that you're counting on it. The argument there is, and I'm just making the argument.
Not gonna be able to chase it.
It just that he doesn't have the upside that perhaps some other quarterbacks do. Like, who do you think? Like, that's an arbitrary number here, but from this point forward, who do you think has more 25 point fantasy games in them the rest of the way? Drew Brees or Justin Herbert?
Probably Justin Herbert.
That's what I'm saying,
but
right?
Who do you think has more
consistent
15
right?
points or fewer games in them, and the answer is Justin Herbert, right?
Right, exactly.
Probably think that, right?
It all depends on what you want out of your quarterback position and what else you have in your roster. But I'm making the anti-Drew Brees case. I agree with you, just to be clear. I agree with you. I'm not getting rid of Drew Brees just yet. Like I said earlier in the show, it is unfair to judge his fantasy value without Michael Thomas. But I think some people are considering it, so I just wanted to bring the name up.
There are two, maybe three quarterbacks that I think are probably more prominent Welcome to Dumpsville candidates right now. Matt Ryan.
Yep.
Carson Wentz.
Sure.
And I think this is probably too much, because he's been pretty effective, and maybe this is sort of like Drew Brees. There's been some inconsistency from Ben Roethlisberger so far this year.
Yeah.
But the weapons are so good.
I'm not there yet.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah, the numbers look fine. You're just like, you know, but I think he and Drew Brees are kind of similar, right? They're just, it may not be how you expect it to get done, but it's getting done.
Yeah. Well, it's much like we're saying with Drew Brees, like, wait till Michael Thomas is back before you fully judge. Wait till he gets like some games with Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson's been in and out of that lineup.
Yeah. Where, yeah.
You know, like,
I think really, though, it's Wentz and it's Matt Ryan that are the two guys we viewed as starters coming into the season that you can say goodbye to.
All right, let's move on to the waiver wire portion for running backs now. And we talked with Stefania earlier in the show, where she mentioned very unlikely Dalvin Cook plays this week. They have a bye the next week, so feels like Minnesota is where you start if you're looking for a running back.
Yeah, most important waiver ad of the week, in my opinion, is Alexander Mattison. And it's the kind of waiver ad that if something happens to Dalvin Cook that makes us more than 1 week,
sure,
that he could be, I mean, potentially a league winner for you.
1,000%.
Alexander Mattison is a really talented player. He showed it on Sunday night. He had over 110 rushing yards on just 20 carries. Caught three passes on three targets, and he's available in 58.5% of leagues. And if I may, let me just borrow this and just say, hey, grab Alexander Mattison. We don't need to belabor why he's really good, but if I may. So sometimes when we tweet our video links, or when we just tweet nuggets or notes or anything related to a player, sometimes the comments, the replies end up being like, if you're playing in a league where Alexander Mattison's available, you play with a bunch of noobs. Well, let me tell you how the waiver wire column works. And I've only told you this 6,000 times.
Sure.
So make it 6,001. Players that we discuss in the waiver wire column are available in over 50% of leagues. So there's a better than 50% chance that you're calling people in these, that you are referring to people as a noob. Like, I'm not deciding whether he's available in 50% of leagues or not. Those who play fantasy football are. So I'm going to write about the players. We're going to talk about the players that are available in over 50% of leagues. Alexander Mattison should be rostered and much more than 50% of leagues. And it should have been before the Cook injury. But he's not. So that's why we're talking about.
And I'll just say, I'll get up on that soapbox with you, and I'll just say this. What you've run into, by the way, we agree. We talked about this in the preseason. I am pro running back insurance. I've said that, like, I think Tony Pollard should be rostered in 100% of leagues, even though he hasn't done anything yet, because Ezekiel Elliott is rostered in 100% of leagues, and anyone that has Ezekiel Elliott on their team should have Tony Pollard.
Yep.
Even if nothing happens to Zeke the entire year. I mean, so, right, there's all those guys that I'm a believer that should be rostered. Okay, fine. Having said that, the people that reply to you like, oh, you're a noob if you know, he's not. What you have run into is one of my least favorite parts of fantasy football, and it is fantasy football snobbery. You know what I mean? And there are a lot of analysts in our industry field that act like this. There are a lot of people that are participants in it. And here's the thing.
It was a joke.
Well, like, I will, no, in all seriousness.
No,
like,
honestly, no. Did you ever hear me?
No, no, what'd you say?
I said Carabel, but I was kidding.
Oh, no, stop it. No, of course not. No, but, like, this is an important thing to me. Like, the way we grow our game, the way we grow fantasy football is by bringing more people in the tent.
Yep.
Because you know what happens? Like, people don't want to join because no one wants to be the stupid person. No one wants to be intimidated by, like, oh, you play in a league where Alexander Mattison isn't available, you moron. Like, it's fun, guys. Fantasy football is a hobby. We play it to escape real life. We play it for fun. It is something we do to enjoy our time, our free time. And you know what? You know what's fun? Not being called a moron, not being called dumb, not being judged. You know, like the fact is, in all seriousness, like, there's a million ways to play fantasy football. And I'll tell you, just in a grand scheme, like, I will say, like, oh, I'm in a 10-team league, which is the ESPN Standard League. I'm like, 10-team league, blah, blah, blah. So, well, you know what? It's actually harder. I'm in a 16-team league. I'm in a 12-team league filled with a bunch of very well-known fantasy analysts that are all super sharp. And we have 33-man rosters. By the way, I have number one in points last year, number one in points this year, right? I'm crushing that league. I will tell you that some of my 10-team leagues are harder than that league, and it's no disrespect to the people in that league, but because that league is so deep, your starting lineup is basically set for you every week. Like, here are my 12 guys that have a pulse this week. Okay, that's my lineup. But when you're sitting there and you're trying to decide between Raheem Mostert and Chris Carson, like, it's harder. You actually, with more depth, you actually have to make more hard decisions. But the point is stop with the fantasy football snobbery. There's a million different ways to play the game. There's a million different ways to enjoy it. And if somebody isn't as intense as you are or as knowledgeable as you are, so what? Maybe help them. Maybe reach out a hand and say, hey, by the way, this is why I think Alexander Mattison should be rostered in your league, not, oh, you play in a league with a bunch of morons. It drives me up a wall. Like, this is why people, and by the way, this is the same problem that happens with sports gambling, and it's the same problem that happens with DFS as well, because people get intimidated by seeing other people online talking down at them, and no one wants to go into a situation where they're going to look dumb or feel uninformed. And so that's all I'm saying. I'm saying to our industry that we all want to grow fantasy football. We want more people to play fantasy football. We want more people to gamble on sports legally. We want more people to play DFS. You know what I mean? And the way you do that is by welcoming them and not being insulting or talking down to them. Rant over.
All right, well said. I'm just going to rip through the rest of the running backs here, by the way. No, it's okay. I think I agree with basically everything that you said. We talked about Chase Edmonds yesterday on the show. Obviously, looks like the superior player right now in the Cardinals' backfield in terms of how he is performing so far this season. Still Kenyon Drake's job, but keep an eye on that one. And this is back to the insurance policy running back idea. And then one more, and this guy might actually be available not just as an insurance policy, but as like the legitimate starter for the Patriots, is Damian Harris, because they had their bye week this past week. Probably not going to be as much interest in him, but he had 100 rushing yards in week 4 against the Chiefs on 17 carries. If the passing game usage increases, watch out, because that would make him a very, very useful piece.
That's the only concern is the lack of passing game usage, and will he get the red zone touches? Because previously it's been a lot of Rex Burkhead, and you know they trust James White, who is now back. Let's talk about running back Dumpsville. Who are you willing to get rid of on your roster that's rostered in over 50% of ESPN leagues, but you're okay getting rid of?
Do you play running back for the Ravens?
Yes.
I'm willing to get rid of you.
Fair enough.
I know it sounds crazy, but Mark Ingram is less than 8 fantasy points per game. J.K. Dobbins had just one rush last week, and I fear this one because they're such a dominant running team, or were last year.
Yeah.
But as we talked about with Lamar Jackson yesterday, he has not been nearly the player that you drafted with likely a late second round pick. It's why you be patient on quarterbacks, why you should be. But yes, I'm willing to drop either Ravens running back if I need the roster spot. Same thing goes with Malcolm Brown.
And interesting.
On Malcolm Brown, interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
That one I'm not fully on board with yet.
So
go ahead, make your Malcolm Brown case.
Are you starting him right now?
I'm not starting him right now, but I do think there's potential. We've seen him be productive. The lead running back of the Rams is going to be fantasy relevant. The question is, does he have a chance to become the lead running back of the Rams? And it would take an injury.
Take two injuries.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, I guess so.
Cam Akers was hurt, and he was still running shotgun with Daryl Henderson, right? So I think it's going to take two Rams running back injuries that are prolonged absences to feel pretty good about Malcolm Brown as a weekly starter.
That's fair. I think there's upside there, and there's, I don't know. I'm not ready to, if I see him on my waiver wire, I'm not going to look at you and be like, what'd you do that for? But he's, there are other guys that would prefer to drop before him, including Nyheim Hines.
I would agree on Nyheim Hines as well. The week one outlier is going to stick out like a sore thumb for the rest of the year. And this is an important piece of context that I probably should have led this conversation with. And it was brought up by Damian in our show note last night, is that, like, calling someone welcome to Dumpsville is not like, hey, you have them on your roster, you should just gratuitously let go of them. I have Mark Ingram, and I'm going to drop him just because. Like,
no.
The point is, hey, let's say you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback, and you happen to have someone you've been hanging on. Maybe you've been hanging on to him, just making this name up here, Alshon Jeffery, and you're bullish on his prospects if he returns this week, and you've got a thin bench. So you know what? I have to get a second quarterback this week.
You're not dropping Russell Wilson.
Dropping Russell Wilson, and I've got some players that have emerged. Like, yeah, and I happen to have, hey, I've got Tony Pollard. I don't want to drop him because I also have Zeke. Anyways, there are scenarios in which you could be down to basically one flexible bench spot, and if Mark Ingram is the guy that's currently in that one flexible bench spot, then it's okay to drop him. But I'm not telling you that, like, hey,
agreed,
you should just go look for whoever Mike has projected for the most points for this upcoming week, and on principle, grab that player and drop Mark Ingram, because that player, and depending on how big your league is, could be like, hey, yeah, LeSean McCoy is the highest projected running back available.
Right.
I don't want to make that kind of move. It's, if you need to make a move, here are expendable players. We want to get to just a couple.
Important context there. And to the point, just to wrap up Nyheim Hines, the thing of it is that if anything were to happen to Jonathan Taylor, it would be Jordan Wilkins that would get the majority of the work for the Colts here. Hines is a nice player, and like, I have him in our 16-team War Room League because he has value in a league that deep. But in a 10-team league, there's just not a lot of upside there with Nyheim Hines. Week one was certainly an outlier.
We're going to finish with just a couple of waiver wire ads at wide receiver. But first, a couple of words from our friends starting at Shell, because Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. Shout out to some of my favorites, like the Bill Barnwell Show and Sports with Katie Nolan. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
You know, if you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball and summer do.
Mm.
They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations both big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under all that pressure. And guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, a fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab Ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you shop for groceries.
You read live reads so soothingly, Dean.
Oh, Field, just stop it.
I would listen to you read live reads all day. I'm going to go back to back to back on some wide receiver additions. But before I tell you about, before I tell you about Chase Claypool, I just want to remind people that Deontay Johnson left the game on Sunday and asked Stefania if we have any sense whatsoever whether Deontay Johnson could miss some time.
I don't think so, based on what Mike Tomlin said afterward. He said he took a big blow to his back, but that he expected him to be fine for this week. So
okay.
Unless something develops later in the week when they start practicing, I would anticipate him playing.
All right, so Chase Claypool has some pros and cons. The pros that he's awesome. He's super talented. He had four touchdowns. I'm not going to tell you to avoid Chase Claypool. The cons are that he actually ran the third most routes amongst wide receivers this past week, and Deontay Johnson, it sounds like, based off that report, could well play. So if you were going to add Chase Claypool, I think it's a smart thing to do. And I'm betting on the talent. I mean, he is an incredibly talented guy, and the Steelers have no shortage of evidence that they know how to draft wide receivers. I'm going to caution you, though. I'm not calling him a must-start necessarily this week. I think my early rankings, he's right around wide receiver 29. I think you can add him, though, just because the talent is so apparent, and you just don't want to ignore what he did this past week. Before I get to Travis Fulgham, though, Stefania, I also want to ask you about the Eagles, because DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey have been hurt recently. Jeffrey hasn't played at all this year. Jackson's been severely limited. Is there a chance that either of them returns in week six?
You know, it's still early in the week, but DeSean Jackson, we haven't heard any progression as far as his hamstring goes, and it sounded like it was something that was going to cost him potentially multiple weeks. And Alshon Jeffrey, remember, is coming off that Lisfranc surgery and just hasn't done anything to give us an indication that he's almost ready to return. You really want to see an uptick in practice for him. I mean, he's been out there, but we haven't had any good indicators that he's really nearing competition yet.
Say, my only indicator is that they carried him on the active roster all this time. I mean, he's going to miss potentially six games just sitting there burning up a roster spot.
Sometimes they make mistakes. That's the problem with some of these. You think, okay, they're medically cleared to return.
Yeah.
But then when you get them out there moving around, you're like, well, no, maybe it's not going as quickly as you thought.
Not always as simple as what you initially believe will be the timetable for a player to return. But Travis Fulgham had the game of his life on Sunday. 10 catches for 152 yards and a touchdown. It's an incredible story. Over the past 2 months, he's been cut by three separate teams. That's right. The Lions, the Packers, and even the Eagles themselves, who have since brought him back, obviously, into the organization, to the practice squad. And he has been a huge part of their offense over the past 2 weeks. Game-winning touchdown against the 49ers in week four. Day of his life in week five. And with zero pass-catching threats that you can count on right now in Philadelphia, he unquestionably has to be on the waiver wire radar. One more here is Mecole Hardman, and Stefania mentioned earlier that Sammy Watkins' hamstring injury typically equates to 1 or 2 weeks missed. Hardman, as I said yesterday on the show, I'm a little bit nervous given the fact that the week you start to bet on Mecole Hardman is the week that DeMarcus Robinson ends up with 8 targets, 100 yards, and a touchdown. But so fast, they're creative in the way that you utilize him. Good things come to those who play football alongside Patrick Mahomes. So Hardman is certainly on the radar for a player to put on your bench and potentially utilize in week seven if he has a really great role in week six and Sammy Watkins is out for multiple weeks. Really quickly, just quick dump spill, couple names here. I think wide receiver dump spill might have some pretty compelling names here. We mentioned Sammy Watkins. I think he's a fine dump spill candidate if you 100%. Need to replace him, obviously. AJ Green, bye-bye, yes. Right? I mean, he's hurt. Wide receiver 89 on the season is AJ Green. How about Russell Gage? I mean, yeah. Julio Jones, uncertain. The Falcons, they're obviously going to have to get a lot of things correct in the first week under Raheem Morris as their head coach. But Russell Gage probably can say goodbye to him.
I mean, like, with Julio Jones out, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah,
he had the big week one, and, like, it's been nothing really ever since.
How about Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, former teammates in Detroit? Either one of them guys that you should be keeping right now?
I don't think so. I mean, certainly not Golden Tate. Nothing about that Giants offense gives you any hope, with the exception of maybe Darius Slayton, right? We'll see what happens when Sterling Shepard comes back. But, you know, listen, the only thing on Marvin Jones, the caveat here on Marvin Jones is that their upcoming schedule, they were on a bye this week, obviously. So they get out of this bye, and now they're at Jacksonville, at Atlanta, home to Indy, at Minnesota. Three of the next four are against, you know, three of the worst pass defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I might... If I could, I might hold on just to see if there's a little bit more, because Marvin Jones is a good player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so we expect better things out of that Lions passing attacked secret squirrel. You want to move to tight ends?
I think Daniel has something he wants to get.
What do you got?
Yeah, actually, we have a social question I want to make sure that we get to, given the fact that Le'Veon Bell has come back. It's somebody that we've been waiting on, but even though we are just so deprived of running backs right now in this year, he plays for the Jets. So we have a Twitter question from @Marioa86. Le'Veon Bell or James White the rest of the season? Is Le'Veon Bell someone that can turn it around for your fantasy roster this year?
Begrudgingly, I'm going to say Le'Veon Bell, because while James White is like so dependable, so reliable, so consistent, the upside is not there. And not that there's a ton with Le'Veon Bell, but I'm not talking about like 20-point upside for James White. I'm talking about like weekly, like 13 to 15-point upside that Le'Veon Bell could potentially bring to you. The Jets talked about wanting to get him more involved in the passing game, and they gave him one target this past Sunday. I don't know what changes. Adam Gase talked yesterday about potentially conceding play calling duties, I would imagine, to Dowell Loggins. Le'Veon Bell is super frustrating. Maybe a trade is eventually on the table. They'd probably have to eat some money if that were to ever happen, but I would prefer Le'Veon Bell by a narrow margin there.
The fact that this is even a question,
it's ridiculous.
Should tell you everything you need to know.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
It makes no sense.
All right, give me two more names we want to talk about here. We got 60 seconds. Last little bit on week 5 you guys want to talk about.
Here we go. On week 5 or?
Yeah.
Or tight end.
Tight end waivers.
Two names to give you. Yep. Big Bob Tonyan, Matthew. Baby Kittle. He looked great 2 weeks ago. They weren't a bye, so not as many people adding him this past week. And not
my long
on the
shot from 2 weeks ago.
Austin Hooper had a career, I think, season-high 10 targets this past week. Maybe a name to keep an eye on. You would think the Browns want to get him more involved. I mean, they paid him $10.5 million per year. Very talented player. I think Austin Hooper has some good days ahead.
If I'm doing that, can I drop Gronk? Is Gronk droppable?
Absolutely. Same with Tyler Higbee and other tight ends that have struggled so far this season. We're back on Wednesday to discuss rankings and other kinds of news. And also, that's right, a Tuesday night football recap. Bills and Titans. Can't wait for that one. 7 p.m. For Matthew, Stefania, Daniel on field. Talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out. Tennessee, you're in the 06010.